Good morning, this is Pastor Rod, and this is the fourth Sunday of Easter. We make our beginning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart, confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us read together the introit for this morning. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, and I lay down my life for the sheep. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Glory be to God on high, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee, we glorify thee, we give thanks to thee for thy great glory. O Lord God, heavenly King, God the Father Almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that taketh away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sin of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy, thou only art the Lord, thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high in the glory of God the Father. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, merciful Father, since you have wakened from death the shepherd of your sheep, grant us your Holy Spirit, that when we hear the voice of our shepherd, we may know him who calls us each by name and follow where he leads. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The first reading for this morning is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 2, beginning with verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their numbers day by day those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The gradual for this morning. Christ has risen from the dead. God the Father has crowned him with glory and honor. He has given him dominion over the works of his hands. He has put all things under his feet. The second reading for today is taken from 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 19. This is a gracious thing. When mindful of God, one endures sorrow while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if, when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Alleluia. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. Alleluia. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter. Glory be to thee, O Lord. Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of the strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. This is the Gospel of our Lord. Praise be to thee, O Christ. We join in confessing our most holy faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This Sunday, the fourth Sunday of Easter, is also known as the Good Shepherd Sunday. We heard passages speaking about the Good Shepherd. We hear it in the Gospel lesson that Jesus, he talks about himself as being the Good Shepherd, that there are others who have come to and claim that they were, but they were false, and they led those who followed them in the wrong direction. But the Good Shepherd, Jesus says, he comes legitimately. He comes through the door. The door is himself, but and that's because he is God. He comes and he calls his sheep, and his sheep hear him. He doesn't just call them, hey, sheep, but he calls them by name, and each sheep knows his name, and they know their shepherd, and they follow him. We see that also in the first reading for today. In that first reading, we see a picture of the sheep of God's pasture, the people of God, the church, the first century church, how they have devoted themselves to the teachings of the apostles, how they come together not only on the Sabbath, which is Saturday, to the temple to do their worship as those who are of the chosen people, the Jews, but also they gather together the first day of the week in the homes of fellow believers. They gather for the purpose of fellowship, that is worship, and they lift up their hands in prayer and praise and thanksgiving. They also gather together and they celebrate the Lord's Supper. That's what the reference is to breaking of bread. This is a picture of the church. This has always been the church. When one wants to see the church, visible church that is, one doesn't have to really look that far. They look to the people of God because the people of God are the church. But there are certain things about the gathering of the people of God that marks them as the church. They devote themselves to the teaching of the apostles, the breaking of bread, and also fellowship. They are concerned for one another. They love one another. They take care of one another. They're always watching out for the physical welfare and the spiritual welfare of the family of God. And that's really important because in our time, it seems the church is becoming irrelevant. People don't see the church that way. And when I say the people, I mean the world. And even Christians, it seems, don't see the church in this way. And we hear it from young Christians who at one time perhaps were members of a congregation and attended that church with their parents. But as they got older and they became adults, they decided to withdraw themselves from the fellowship. Now, that's not healthy. That's not good. And we kind of give it a pass. Well, they're on their own for the first time, and so they're just getting, you know, that out of their system. They'll come back. And that does happen. That does happen where these who have fallen away come back. But there are those who don't come back because the world has an alluring message. But it's not the true message. It's not the truth that they are listening to. They're like the thief that come into the sheep pen and they steal the sheep. And that's truly what happens. the world's message is that of the father of lies, Satan. And Satan has no greater desire than to disrupt God's church, to disrupt his people, and to steal away from God those whom he has redeemed. Now, if we think about that in today's terms, we think how people talk. People talk about they're spiritual, but they're not religious, so they don't attend a church. And that's because people are starting to see the church as an institution only. They don't see the things, I guess, really, that the church is about. And that could be for different reasons. I'm not going to pinpoint any particular reason that people don't see the church as God's people. They may see the church as one of many places that one can worship God, but those are usually places in which people gather together and worship God of their own making rather than the true God. No, we belong to the church of God, and Jesus is the good shepherd. He is the one who has laid down his life for the sheep. He wasn't afraid to stand against the evil foe. He wasn't afraid to stand against death. He wasn't afraid to take upon himself all of our sins, the sins of the whole world, and go to that cross and die. He wasn't afraid to do that because he knew he would be saving his sheep. He would die for them, even though they would be scattered at that moment, yet he would gather them back together. And we see that taking place in the first century church with the apostles declaring the word of God to the people in Jerusalem. They're bold in their statements. Peter is bold when he says, "This Christ whom you crucified." He proclaims the law to the people, and the people hear it, and they're disturbed by it. They're afraid of God because of these words, because of what has happened. These men are telling them that this Christ whom you crucified was raised from the dead. And that's good news. But to them, when they heard it, that wasn't good news. There was reason to be afraid. But Peter tells them not to be afraid. Instead, he says to them, because they ask, "What must we do then?" And he says, "This was done for your benefit. This was done for your good. Now, all you need to do is repent. Turn back to God. That's it. Nothing else. Be baptized and devote yourself to God." In the book of Acts, we see that played out in this morning's first reading. And it is good news. It's wonderful news because it has changed them. They are not like they once were. They are not a people who are afraid. They are not a people who are separated. And that's the important thing. They're not separated any longer. They are brought together. Sinners are brought together. Those who were once considered outcasts are brought together. And it is a wonderful picture that we have because of their concern for one another, their love for one another. In fact, later in the book of Acts, we are told that the people who observe them say about them, "See how they love one another." And we get a picture of that love in Acts, how the people come together to not just worship, but to take care of one another. They sell what they have, and they have a kind of a community offering then. They have this money that is used for the benefit of the fellowship. Those who have need, they take only what they need. They're not greedy in what they do. They really exemplify the church. And that example that they give to the world around them, it has an effect because we are told many more are added to this church in Jerusalem and its growth, to the church of God. Jesus said, "You know, I'm the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep." What thief would do that? They wouldn't. They would flee. They would leave the sheep behind rather than lay down their life for the sheep. Oh, they're willing to steal from the owner of those sheep, but they're not going to lay down their lives for it. No, there is only one good shepherd, and we hear his voice, and we hear it today, just as they did in Jerusalem. We hear it because we also follow the teachings of the apostles. The words of the apostles have been recorded for us. The gospel has been recorded for us. The church's foundation is Jesus Christ. And the teachings of the apostle is what lays that out for us. We can hear it. We can see it. We can examine it. We can ask questions about it. We can pray to God about it. And we will hear the answers coming from our under-shepherds, that is, the pastors of our church. They who are truly also followers of Christ will proclaim the gospel clearly. They will proclaim it. We're not afraid to proclaim it because it is a gospel that changes lives. It is a gospel that gives life. And today I want to talk just a little bit about that caring that God continues to have for his people. I've been disturbed by some of the attitudes of people concerning this COVID-19. I'm disturbed in the sense that I'm hearing a lot on TV, commercials or whatever, and they're all focused at what science is doing, and science is the answer. And I'm not an anti-science person, believe me. I'm glad for science. I welcome science. Science is that which God gives us. The questions that we ask are questions that in a sense, one could say God gives us. And truly they are. We ask questions because God has made us that way. So science is important. We learn a lot about our world. We learn about life. We learn wonderful things that help those who are healers make us well when we are sick. We are thankful for them, but we always must give thanks to God. We must always turn to God and give him praise and adoration because none of this would be possible without him. And the church has been part of that since the beginning. The church has always been part of reaching out to people with the love of God and meeting the needs of the people with the love of God. And the love of God is expressed in the people of God. It is expressed in how we communicate with one another, how we look after one another, how we reach out to those who are in need. We don't turn our back to people. We look to them and we see them as those whom Christ died for. Whether they believe in him or not is beside the point. It is our faith that moves us. It is our faith that moves us to love those who still do not know Christ or who have even rejected Christ. This is the church. That is the church. And we gather together as a community because that's what God has made us to be. We are a community. We are his family. And families gather together. And right now that's been real hard for families. It's been hard on families to not be able to gather together. Grandchildren are kept at a distance from the grandparents so that the grandparents don't get COVID-19. We're all distanced from one another. We're told we can't hug one another. We're being cautious. No one's trying to take away our right to do so, to love one another. No one can take that away. Love is that which is expressed from the heart. Love is that which we do towards one another. Love isn't selfish. It isn't kept to oneself. Love must be poured out. Love must go out from us, just as it went out from God when he sent his son into the world, just as that love went out to us on the cross when Jesus stretched his arms out and they were nailed to that wood. That was God's love going out to us. It took us in. It brought us to him. We who were once enemies, while we were enemies, while we were alienated from God, that's when Jesus came into the world. That's when Jesus died for us. But he was raised to life for us as well. We have this living Savior, this good shepherd who still comes to us in the word that is proclaimed. He still comes to us in the bread that is broken, the holy sacrament of the altar. He still comes to us in water and the word, in baptism. He doesn't leave us alone. He embraces us all the time. Now, the church has always had struggles throughout the life of the church. We're not any different today in this world. The church has struggled throughout the 20th century. It's struggled in the 21st. It is struggling even in the 21st century. We see a decline in the church, and that decline causes us concern and worry. But this is something that we need to keep in mind on this Good Shepherd Sunday, that we are not alone, and that the Good Shepherd is still leading us, and we are still following him. We do so in different circumstances. That's why I think everybody loves Psalm 23. You see, the Good Shepherd leads us through the valley of death. He doesn't drop us off at the valley of death. He doesn't leave us there. He takes us to the green pasture. But the Good Shepherd does that for us. And the church sometimes is walking through the valley of death, and it's scary at times. Death is scary, but we are not frightened by it, because we know that death for us is an entryway into heaven. It wasn't always that way, but because of what Jesus did, the Good Shepherd laying down his life for us and taking it up again on Easter, welcomed residents of our true home, heaven. And that is good news for us. So as we walk through this valley of death right now, and in a lot of ways, you can't hide from the fact of death. I don't care how many governors or the president or anyone else says we're saving lives. The truth is, we're all going to die. It's just how will that happen? I mean, I could leave here today on my motorcycle, and I could have a wreck. I don't want to have a wreck. I might lay that bike down, and I might be injured, or I might die. I don't know. I never know. No one knows. I could be walking down the street and get struck by a car. I could be doing any number of things. I don't even need to be doing anything. I could be just speaking to you right here and suddenly drop dead from a heart attack. I'm not wishing these things on myself. I'm just speaking the truth. And the truth is, we will all die. The thing is, are we going to be afraid? Or are we going to look to the shepherd who leads us through the valley of death? He leads us to the source of green pastures and calm waters. Heaven is our home. And that's where we all will be one day. Yes, in this world, we'll have our struggles. For a time, we must distance ourselves. For a time, we must withstrain ourselves from, I guess that's the right word, right? Well, we ought not be hugging one another when we gather together again. We have to refrain from shaking hands. But this will pass. This will pass. Those things will be back. Trust me on that. Now, I'm not speaking any knowledge that God's given me on it. I'm just speaking what is natural in the world. Viruses come and go. Plagues come and go. But people need one another. People need contact with one another. And those things will be back again. But meanwhile, do not lose hope. Do not lose sleep. Do not lose sleep. Just dedicate yourself to reading the Word of God, listening to that Word being proclaimed. Hear the voice of Jesus, because you are His and He has named you. He knows you by name. He knows you, and that's a wonderful thing, because He calls you. And guess what? We know Him too, and we hear His voice, and we follow Him. We're not going to follow strangers. We're not going to follow the voice of the world, because we are dedicated to Him. Our lives are His, because He has bought them with His own blood by water and the Word, right? So We celebrate today the Good Shepherd who had died for the sheep and was raised to life again. He is our Good Shepherd. Praise God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Amen. We join in the prayers of the church today. Bidden by our shepherd, let us come before his throne of grace and prayer on behalf of all people according to their needs. Blessed shepherd, you establish your church with your sacrificial death and mighty resurrection. Grant us devotion that we may abide in the teaching of the apostles and honor the fellowship of the church. Guard us against all enemies of your word, and keep us within the care of your flock and staff forevermore. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Mighty Shepherd, you hold in your hands all the might of man, and you hold accountable those who would govern your people. Grant to us good government and good leaders who will honor your purpose, protect your people, serve the cause of justice, and defend our liberty against all threats. Give them wisdom and moderation in their pandemic response. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving Shepherd, you love the world enough to shed your blood, and you desire that all would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Inspire and equip your church and our ministers to speak faithfully and boldly your word, and bless all those who serve us on your behalf. Bless us especially when we are persecuted for the faith or suffer for the sake of the good that honors you and is obedient to your word. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Holy Shepherd, you have clothed us with Christ's righteousness and taught us to love all that is good, right, and true. Bless all artists and artisans, composers and musicians and craftsmen and writers, that they may employ all their skills for your glory and in service to the gospel, and that the arts may testify to your saving death and resurrection. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Shepherd, your wounds are our healing, and your voice calls us to you in time of need. Hear us on behalf of all those who suffer in body or mind, who grieve those whom they love, and to whom death draws near. We pray especially for Scott Stallings, Robert Galabias, Pastor Mark Seeger, Nelson Meyer, and Weston Swoboda, and those we name in our hearts. Grant them healing according to your will, grace to sustain them in the day of trouble, and hope of the new and everlasting life to come. Be with the unemployed and the distraught, and return them to health and livelihood. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious Shepherd, you seek out those who have fallen, and restore the sinner to repentance. Send forth your Spirit to rekindle faith in the heart of those who have fallen away from the truth, or who have been overcome by temptation and sin. Bring good from ill, and increase in all the hunger for your word and a recognition of our need, that many may be gathered into your flock when church doors are open wide again. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Giving Shepherd, you have not withheld anything from us, but emptied yourself fully upon the cross that we might be saved. Move our hearts to such devotion and teach us such generosity that we may bring to you the tithes and offerings of a grateful heart and serve our neighbors in need with the resources you have supplied to us so abundantly. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Good Shepherd, you set your table among us in the presence of our enemies. Hear us because we are beset by so many false voices and tempted by so many false gospels. Help us to hear your voice and to abide safely in your word that remains forever. Equip us with your spirit so that we may receive your body and blood with faith and a repentant heart. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O great good shepherd, we pray. We pray that you hear your sheep and answer our prayers with mercy, granting us those things profitable for us in our salvation, and keeping from us all things harmful. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.